The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
Get it. Then again, if you're wishing for the return of our ace vet, Zoe Jameson, we will be delighted if she's there. Zoe Jameson, have our wishes come true?
Woohoo! Yes, I have.
Oh, great stuff. Marvellous. So another week seems to just... we're in the autumn now, pretty much. I mean, you know, possibly the coldest bank holiday on record that we're faced with. Or indeed, if you're listening to this on a Wednesday, have had. It's all very bizarre time things. How are you finding it? Is it a case of, well, Newbury in lockdown autumn Britain, that's what I want to be?
Yeah, it's very chilly today, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, we just have to carry on regardless and bring a sparkle to the world through the medium of the telecommunications field, even though Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, has warned that the coronavirus pandemic will worsen in coming months and life will not return to normal until a vaccine against it has been developed. Western Europe's longest-serving leader also called on the world to accelerate the fight against global warming and for Germany and Europe to maintain dialogue with other major powers through difficult times while beating the drum for democracy. So she's been quite busy, hasn't she, really, Angela Merkel?
Yeah,
good.
My goodness, that's a busy week.
Yeah. As I say, who knows where we're heading off to. And apparently, Zoe, fortune tellers are finding their businesses booming. Some Indians are going to astrologers, tarot card readers and faith healers as they seek to know what lies ahead for them in a country where coronavirus cases have rocketed to 3.3 million, the third highest in the world, with more than 60,000 deaths. You've got to trust yourself. Trust the Almighty by all means, but fortune tellers, not necessarily the best place to go, I would have said. Just hazard a guess. I mean, if you've got a poorly pony, you're not going to necessarily say, I know, I'll take him to the village soothsayer and see what magical things they can conjure for him out of the runes.
I've never actually been to a fortune teller, have you?
No. And no real intention to. In the words of the late Patrick Moore, as when it comes to fortune tellers, there's one born every minute. Very good. It's like the confusion people have over astronomy, genuine science, and astrology. Not general science, you know, it's a big different routine. And I speak as a Capricorn goat. There you go. moving on. You, of course, are the classic Pisces fish.
Wasn't there a new star sign recently?
A Fiacus?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Oh, I can't really remember, but I remember vaguely reading something about it.
We're Capricorn goats with Capricorn goat fish in various ways, which obviously means that we've got the sort of front of a goat and the rear end of a tail. At least with Pisces, you know pretty much that you're fish. That's very important. What are we talking about? I know, Last of the Summer Wine. Have you ever seen Last of the Summer Wine in any way, shape or form, Zoe?
No, of course not.
I didn't think so. That's why I thought I'd use this as a music bed to pave the way for when, all being well, on our next Zoomer, you will be speaking to one of the lead characters from Last of the Summer Wine. Indeed, one of the few surviving characters from Last of the Summer Wine, Jonathan Lindsley.
How exciting.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, it's kind of like, it's prepping, doing some live prepping on air. So at least I can actually say, well, remember we were having that conversation a few hours ago, Zoe? This is what it's all about. Yeah. All you need to do is type in Jonathan Lindsley, Linsley. Feel free to do this at home, dear listener, if you wish. And you will find that his Wikipedia entry will come up. And one of the things I thought we might like to talk about, really, is how accurate is his Wikipedia entry? Yeah, I mean,
we'll have to find out.
As I say, he's appeared in television as Crusher Milburn in Last of the Summer Wine between the years of 1984 and 1987. He was in two Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Dead Man's Chest and At World's End, as Ogilvy.
My goodness.
Exactly. And of course, he is a fine artist as well, which is, I don't think it's actually entered in Wikipedia. So there we are, that's a little bit of prep. And this, as I say, we'll just have a few moments to savour the somewhat peaceful, calm and chilled out music to Last of the Summer Wine. Almost sense in Newbury, if you actually played that through the Tannoy speakers, you'd have calm animals across the region. and relax. Of course, I'll say the return of Zoe Jameson is predicated on the fact that there are no sick animals in Newbury. There shouldn't be. Just get well, sorted out, or other things, because she's on call, but fingers crossed she'll be connected from that. So progressing onwards, say about a year or so ago, I think you were prepping. Oh, no, it was the end of September when we were looking at the autumn Harrogate Flower Show. So, I don't know, times scoot on so many years. Of course, this particular time, if memory serves, or shortly around about this time, in a week or so, we would have actually been at Burley for the horse trials.
I know. How sad that we won't be attending this year.
Yeah. Either in a DuBarry capacity or in a freelance broadcasting journalist capacity or in I am Zoe Jameson, do you not know who I am capacity, which is the way forward these days.
Okay.
You know,
I think you're going to get very far.
No, I beg to differ, Zoe. You know, I think the way we've been sort of promoting your good self over the last few months, it's essential. As I say, you helped us through lockdown, which is the important thing. We might be going to a second lockdown, so who knows what will be happening on that. We'll just sort it through. Right now, I'm very tempted to actually say musical choice now, but then again, that exactly. Yes. I mean, Katy Perry, have you heard of her?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, well, that's one sort of possibility. Then the other one, Elvis Costello, who I suspect you probably haven't.
No.
To send us round to our station philosopher, that of course would be Poppy Booth. She has recently been, I believe, in Northumbria, further north than even Newcastle.
Oh my goodness. Sorry,
I know. Yeah, it's quite shocking. But anyway, we'll find out what she's got to say about that. Your decision, Zoe, is do we go Katy Perry and Daisies, her latest number, or Watching the Detectives with Elvis Costello? Where are you going to point the listener?
Please, I have Watching the Detectives. I need to broaden my horizon.
Oh, interesting. So, we'll save those last two questions until you've enjoyed a little touch of Declan McManus, the original name, of course, of Elvis Costello.
Fingers to blow you away. catch up with detectives. Get so angry when the teardrops start.
Curiously, I have actually edited work that Elvis Costello has been involved with, but never actually met Elvis Costello. It's through a mutual friend, Ian Prowse, who's a big, big Elvis Costello fan, also a fellow Merseysider with respect to Elvis. Other folk, of course, who should remain nameless, actually find Elvis not a good soul at all. It's very interesting, polarised folk. What does Zoe make of Elvis Costello and watching The Detectives?
Quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a good soul there. He might just have been in a bad mood when one of our other colleagues, who, as I say, shall remain nameless, wasn't necessarily a big Elvis fan and never selects Elvis at all. In fact, I guarantee if we'd had this chap on and I'd given him the option, there's just no way he would have gone down the line of Costello. He would have been Perry all the way. Still, there we are. Just sensitivities, really. Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Of course I have, as always.
Marvellous. So I take it then, fingers crossed, we might be back with you via Zoom in the very near future once you've looked up Jonathan Lindsley and possibly Graham Harper and Sarah Huntley on that Wikipedia thingy.
Yes, I'm going to go and do my homework.
Well, it's a thought. I mean, I'd say homework prep, you know. I mean, we all have to do it. I'm trying to get my sort of lectures into some sort of online sensibility way. We'll get there in the end, I'm sure, because that's what Pisces and Capricorn folk do. We get there in the end.
Indeed.
I wonder if he was saying that in Northumbria. You ain't seen nothing yet, of course not, because it wouldn't be grammatically correct. And if you actually have an English degree, you wouldn't ever use the word ain't, would you, Poppy Booth?
Absolutely not.
No, exactly. No. You haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, all these years, Bachman Turner Overdrive, you know, DJs and presenters across the globe, and it's just, it's an irritant, really, an irritant. So how are you? Welcome back to the one-on-one phoners from a genuine studio, which I was actually thinking whilst listening to that, do you know, if you really felt bold, daring and brave and willing to be in a socially isolated manner, because we could actually do this as we would be separated by the requisite thing in terms of one end of the microphone and so on, you could conceivably actually join us in the studio next week if you
wanted to. Yeah,
I just put that out there. You know, it's there. You know, from that point, you could actually take part of the sequence. You could speak in a like genuine radio way, as of course you used to do back in the day up in St Andrews. You could speak to Robin Pierce, Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic, Tessa Snart, Zoe Jameson, your fellow midweek drivettes and so on. So it's a thought, you know, it's a thought, you know, if you have a couple of hours, etc., let us know and we'll try and make sure that the waves are paved in terms of the way is paved to sort that they do. It could be a philosophical debate, you know, we're not asking for a response now, it's just a thought. Anybody else, I'm afraid it's limited to two. We could only have two in the studio any one time. We can't, the days when we used to have five, six or seven, no, it's not going to happen, you know.
Long gone.
Yes. As Angela Merkel says, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Or paraphrasing that whole sequence, which is marvellous stuff. And or alternatively, take the line of the French, who, as I say, when they're just having another huge spike of coronavirus cases, let's run the Tour de France. How was Northumbria? Sufficiently socially isolated to survive, no doubt?
Yeah, I think it definitely was. We had a nice time, went on a lot of walks and visited some nice towns, and it was very relaxed.
Very good. That's fine. Interesting enough, in a week and a bit's time, I shall be heading back down to Lincoln once again, which is very strange. Obviously, the academic year, does it ever stop? Not really. I mean, I've been supervising postgraduate courses over the summer, or at least dealing with one-to-ones, but it is going to be an interesting way in which we deal with delivery of online lectures and such like. I'm sure we'll get there in the end. That's the important thing. The world has been awaiting, as we heard on another little piece of this programme. Robin Pierce missed you last week. He missed you in the reviews because he missed the whole essence of Poppy's philosophical choices. I said, it's not our fault you went to Northumbria. It's just, you know, it's like going into the desert, going into the wilderness, going on a retreat, effectively trying to get that spiritual refueling and recharging, the recharging of one's batteries that actually work our way through that. So what has that informed you of Poppy, and what magical things, as you were looking at the Scottish borders and the lands of the Reavers and so on, did you think, I know, I could talk about that one?
Well, I was staying in a place called Kirk Newton, which was very close, about a 5-minute walk to an old English settlement called Adgefrin from the 7th century. So I went and had a look around. There were lots of plaques up and it was very interesting, but it got me thinking, what kind of philosophy would they have held? You know, what would they have thought? So I was kind of looking back at the most prominent philosophers of the time, and I decided that I would talk today about Boethius, who was from, he died in 524 AD. So just, you know, the century just before this settlement would have been. So it's very plausible that they would have heard his ideas and maybe lived by them. And he's also one of my favorite philosophers. I think his ideas are very profound and can be applied, you know, timelessly. They can apply today and as they applied in his century. So basically, he was a man who was born in Rome, and his first kind of trek into philosophy was translating Aristotle and Plato's writings from Greek to Latin so that more people could read them. So he was very big on accessibility and everyone hearing these ideas and educating themselves about philosophy. And basically he got arrested in the 500s for conspiring or for allegedly conspiring against the soon-to-be king, and was put in prison. And it was there that he started to really think about his own philosophies. and he was basically trying to metaphorically think his way out of his prison cell and try and expand his mind so that he wasn't as trapped as his material body was. So it was in this prison cell that he wrote a book called The Consolation of Philosophy, which is basically a book presented as a dialogue between him and this person that comes to visit him called Lady Philosophy. And he just has a conversation with Lady Philosophy throughout the whole book. And the general idea of it is that there is a higher, like platonic higher power, and that everything else is secondary to that higher power. And he calls the higher power Fortuna, and it's basically fate, his idea of fate. And he believes that to be a philosopher is to understand the control that fate has. And so Lady Philosophy tells Boethius that to be happy, you need to stop trusting in anything that fortune or fate can take away. So there's a quote in it that I think is very nice and must be remembered. It says, happiness cannot consist on things governed by chance. So you just need to focus your happiness on aspects of your life that are solid and foundational in there and aren't, you know, material things that fate can just snatch away at the drop of a hat. So yeah, he basically just is telling us how appreciating the little of our lives in our hands and the fickleness of fortuna or fate will help us look beyond the opinions of others and help us find a true appreciation for life. And I think that's a very nice message.
And of course, Carmina Burana, O Fortuna, often known by many as the old commercial Old Spice advert, is just one of those examples. Karl Orff, of course, was the composer who actually wrote the text O Fortuna on that. And as you rightly said, Poppy, 524, so a mere 1,500 or so years ago when the Consolation of Philosophy first actually emerged. Interesting, I suppose, in terms of written, as you said, by Boethius, obviously in a prison cell, because Gramsci did the similar thing with his prison diaries in the 20th century.
It seems to be a common theme, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not advocating, though, that we should actually penalise thinkers and put them in jail. I know ideas can be very dangerous from various perceptions, but I do think it's a bit radical to actually say, I'm sorry, it's too much original thought. Forget your Lady Fortuna. We're going to send you into jail.
Yeah.
Then again, if your idea is worth standing up for, should you have the courage of your convictions?
Yeah, it's a big debate, isn't it? Whether thought and language can be weaponized enough to be have to be punished.
It's one of those reasons, Poppy, why it's best to think a thought perhaps in every thousand of our years, to refer back, of course, to the Black Sun. I feel as though I got very old. Just as, in fact, I've just turned invisible in the studio. It's just amazing. It's just very good. What is that? It's marvellous. Everything is and was and is to come. Or maybe I'm just thinking about going to see the movie Tenet. Very strange. Speaking of which, you've been up to Northumbria. I have already said to both Robin Pierce and indeed Richard Fitzwilliams that no, heading off to the cinema is not on my list of things to do. I will probably access the delights of Mulan, which of course is released only digitally via Walt Disney Plus, and indeed likewise I say movie of the year so far has to be the one and only Ivan. If you don't cry after saying the one and only Ivan, then I'll be very surprised, because I find myself shedding lots of tears over that. It's very strange. Will you be heading to the cinema, Poppy? Will that be something that's on your agenda? Or is it a case of don't be silly, I'm back in Stokesley now, and Stokesley is where I'll stay?
You know, I have missed the experience, but I don't think I'm in a rush to go back quite yet.
I'll
wait for it to calm down a bit more.
Even for New Mutants or indeed Tenet? And of course,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, when you say calm down, clearly any cinema proprietors are actually saying, calm down, what does she mean? We desperately need every customer we can get these days. I think you're referring to the actual pandemic situation as opposed to sometimes you have to just make sure these things are made quite explicit, Poppy, otherwise confusions can ensue and Lord knows where we're going. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Poppy Booth?
I have, yes, thank you.
And already, as I kind of, I think, confused Robin by saying, have you uploaded to ensure that you are fully uploaded, not to be downloaded, but actually fully ready for the next Resonance Rewind upload? Will you be back and joining us again in the very near future?
Yes, I would love to be.
Splendid!
Seven Mount Pleasant Street. Well, it's the same room, but everything's different. You can fight the sleep, but not the dream. Things ain't cooking in my kitchen. Strange affliction wash over me. Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire couldn't conquer the blue sky. Sing like a bird released. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, always take the weather. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you.
Unanswered question, of course, or maybe the unasked question, as well as unanswered, is it's all very well taking the weather with you, but what if you don't actually want the weather that you're taking with you? Do you still take the weather with you? Maybe Tessa Snart can actually shed some light on that quandary and conundrum. Tessa, what say you? Do you take the weather with you everywhere you go?
Well, as long as it's sunny, I hope so, but...
Yeah, you see, that's it. As long as it's sunny. What about those people who actually like the rain? What about those people who actually like the, you know, the snow, blizzards and so on?
I actually met a person, I was at school, who didn't like the sunshine. She only liked rain.
Yeah, exactly.
They are out there.
And would you like to take that weather with you? I mean, we need the rain. So it's a great sort of songwriting, lyrical questions which needs to be asked in these pandemic-oriented days. Wales, I gather, was bags of fun for the snart colony that effectively decided to descend en masse for a snart family Welsh extravaganza.
It was lovely, and it was great to be connected with the outdoors again, rather than being cooped up in four walls.
I don't know. Sometimes the four walls can be quite fun. We did a feature this very week about the way in which home improvements have gone through the roof in terms of lockdown and so on. And as we said, if the government has out of 1,800 employees, only 92 of them actually going back to work for their office, and maybe people are not rushing back to go into the mass commute as yet. Exactly.
I am with them on that, you know. I think I really am. I think it's nice. I think there should be a balance between work, home life.
Certainly, I think I've had some fairly productive online meetings with my postgraduate students, and clearly getting one's head around the delivery of lectures online will be another little challenge that we're faced with, and indeed is ongoing as far as university tuition is concerned, but so it goes.
Wow,
when I first heard Helena Mace, I thought, this sounds a little like Celine Dion. I'm thinking a bit like... I'm thinking Celine Dion and also Eurovision and that kind of anthemic,
yes,
agonising system. That's what sprung to my mind. Not in a negative sense, because I know, Eurovision, I don't know about that. But in a kind of... I could see it actually being the entry for a Eurovision, you know, a French or an Italian or, you know, an entry into that. Because
you know what? I never thought about that, but it has got that vibe, hasn't it? And have you seen that film, Eurovision, with Will Ferrell?
It's on,
and Rachel McAdams?
It is on my list of things to check out, as I had to sort of defend my decision not to go to the cinema to see Tenet, which Richard Fitzwilliams is insisting we all actually do. I'm sorry, Richard. No, I will see Tenet in my own good time, and as it's a movie about time, I think that's perfectly okay. But, you know, we work on it, and I appreciate, obviously, Eurovision is online via that wonderful contributor Netflix, so maybe it's on my list of things to check out over the next few days when I'm not actually doing online writing and other bits and pieces, so it's very, very confusing. Because sometimes you think screen time, you know, if you're spending all your time working on a screen, do you want to watch more screen by actually watching another screen?
That is the question. I mean, it seems to be all screen time. Screen time now.
Screen and scream. You can scream at the screen. And that can get even more problematic than taking the weather with you. And if you're not sure what weather to take with you, if you're screaming at the screen at the same time as you're trying to actually have some screen time, well, the world is just... We won't be unbroken. That's the key thing.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Sometimes feel like I can't breathe. I ain't ever backing down. You really need to see the real me. I'm unbroken. I don't hear your words.
I can almost see the banners flying in the Eurovision halls of the Euro parties across the country, actually, sort of say, yay, Helena, and the sort of smiley faces. But maybe she never even thought of it as a Eurovision entry. Maybe she's just concerned about the music.
Maybe not, but she's had a lot on just lately. She's actually just recovering from radiotherapy, and she's continued to do her music throughout that. So I'm sending, and I'm sure as part of the Siren team, sending our best wishes to her. And that track is actually the title track on her latest album, which reached number one on the country album iTunes chart just recently. So that's good for her.
And just like her music, Helena Mace is unbroken.
Exactly.
Yeah. Country music, a country-themed Eurovision. I think there's mileage there.
Apparently,
yeah. Well, something for country in the kitchen, which of course is now available on Siren Radio, amongst other things, as well as podcasts and so on. Children who take part in nursery-based cooking lessons become less fussy about what they eat. They're even more willing to try green vegetables, according to a survey from the University of Glasgow. 3 to 5 year olds who took part in a weekly interactive session, Big Chef, Little Chef. Over 4 weeks, were more willing to try green vegetables than others. So found in the journal Nutrients. So I don't know if you want to sort of see the Country in the Kitchen podcast. Maybe it's a case of for little ones. Perhaps your mum can actually do a survey on that. If they're introduced to vegetables earlier, they're more likely to eat their greens.
Well, we could do a segment on that because, of course, I do feature guests, you know, who countryside guests. Yeah. And we talk a lot about British produce and eating fresh and local and knowing where your meat comes from and veg.
Farmyards rather than food miles.
There you go.
The musical challenge is between Glen Campbell, Linda Ronstadt and the Soggy Bottom Boys. Where is Tessa going to go? Is she going to go for I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow, classic bluegrass, of course, from the Soggy Bottom Boys? Or are you going to go Glen Campbell, Honey Come Back? Or will you go for Stony End and Linda Ronstadt? What is your choice going to be?
Well, you've given me quite a few Glenn and Lindas before, so I think I'm going to have to go with the Soggy Bottom. Right now.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunny Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no more. But
meet you on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Starring, of course, George Clooney, the original movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? By the Coen brothers, and the Soggy Bottom Boys there with A Man of Constant Sorrow. Did that float your boat, Tess?
It certainly did. It was very deep south. We went right back, didn't we?
Sure enough, ma'am. Sure enough. Well, that's pretty much it for the moment then, as we head off into the wild yonder. Apart from saying, of course, you can access the whole thing again via podcast on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. And indeed, you can listen to Tessa's very own sound country. We can access the Sound Country Vision. The precursor, of course, to Country in the Kitchen, and Tessa's Tune of the Week, which is still there and won't be going anywhere as far as I'm away, as far as I'm aware, at least. So, Tessa Snart, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, I have. It's been great to get back to it after being in Wales.
And for those intriguing folk who thought, or people who were intrigued by a social media post which had a shot of your good self inscribing various writing things down and saying you're beginning to think about other new possible broadcasting areas, can you reveal anything as yet? Or is it just a case of, I could tell you, but then I'd have to shoot you? It's one of those two things.
No, I've been working on a few things over lockdown. I've had time. I've been in touch with somebody who is starting up an Australian online radio show, and they've asked if I will feature as a UK correspondent, a bit like Richard Fitzwilliam does, and Graham Harper. It's the same sort of thing, but it's all on health and well-being. And then I've started doing, it's all voluntary at the moment, all a bit of fun.
But isn't that the best way? I mean, I was speaking to an agent in California, in fact, in Los Angeles recently, and she was saying sometimes she despairs of her clients, no names, but she said, you know, there's an individual who was conceivably actually joining us on the program, and then they said, oh, is it paid? She said, no, it's an interview. Oh. It's an interview, sorry. And she says sometimes she despairs, and actually part of the magic has been, you know, I mean, we've done this for over 40 years. Obviously not you, Tess, you weren't born 40 years ago, but there we are. It's just a way of life in terms of the way forward.
It's a way of connecting, isn't it?
Precisely.
And I think that's great. It's just, we're recording conversations.
It's being human. It's being human, but professionally so. That's the important thing. Celebrating the good things. So I take it then, Tessa, you'll be back with us again in the very near future?
I will do. I have a track coming up from the Outlaw Orchestra, which I hope Robin will like. I think it will be up his street.
Does that mean that they spent time composing it in jail, the Outlaw Orchestra? It's just a thought, but you know, it's a well-known scenario. It could actually happen. Tessa Snart will return.
See you again.
Doubt me.